Stay a stump, mate.
Right, Sprag. But keep an eye out for the blues. It's our necks if they glimpse this cargo.
They won't. Not in this fog. Unless they're kipping under the bridge. Now, hold on to the legs. Yeah. Get your end up, mate. Steady. Right, start swinging. Yeah. Give a good shove.
And may the saints have mercy on his soul.
That's their problem. Mine's a thirst, and it's killing me.
Sprag, the other bit. We forgot it.
Then get rid of it. Now let's be moving.
Here, that last bit, Sprag. What was it? His punching bag.
His punching bag? Yeah. No, Mace. It was his head. And if he'd used it, it might still be on his shoulders.
We present The Detective Wore Silk Drawers, a novel of suspense set in late Victorian times by Peter Lovesey and dramatized for radio by Geoffrey M. Matthews. With John Rye as Detective Sergeant Cribb, John Hollis as Constable Thackeray, and Steve Hodson as Constable Jago.
A blue!
Now then, come on.
That's
enough.
Right?
Don, get out of the way.
Rules, lads, rules.
Get him.
Hey, keep off me, you.
Right,
that's enough. That's enough, lads. Right, back, all of you.
Come on, lads. Let's get out of here.
Come on, Don, please.
Yeah. You all right, Thackeray?
No, I mean, Mr. Cribb. You're a welcome sight, Sergeant. What happened?
You were felled, Thackeray. A punch right on the mark.
The mark?
Point to the stomach, Thackeray. Broughton's mark. Oh. A truly classic punch. You want to congratulate the lads when you round them up.
That ain't likely, Sarge. I should have known to get on with it, the little varmints. But, Sarge, what you... Well, I mean, Hampstead ain't your line of country.
No, that's true. But since you were on duty here, Tell me... Are you enjoying it?
Beat bashing? No, Sarge. Well, Hampstead, well, it ain't exactly noted for its crime rate.
Well, I wouldn't despair, Thackeray. Now, if you've not changed over much, I sense you could do with some refreshment.
Yeah.
The back parlour of the Rat Catcher. You still welcome there?
Oh, yes, Sarge. Ada and me, we still have our understanding.
Excellent. Then, Thackeray, I suggest you return to your lodgings, get out of uniform, and meet me within the hour. It's possible I may have some news for you.
Another murder, Sarge?
No, Thackeray. Crime prevention, as decreed by Inspector Jowett.
That'll be fourpence, gents.
Oh, I thought you had an arrangement, Thackeray.
He does, but it don't apply to drinking. Now, Mr. Cribb.
Well, there you are, Ada. And have one yourself.
Oh, thanks, sir.
At times I envy you, Thackeray. All the pleasure and no complications.
Oh, it ain't like you, Sarge. I mean, being sorry for yourself.
I'm not, Thackeray, but, well... I was interviewed by Inspector Jowett this morning. You should have heard him. Flair, Sergeant Cribb. Imagination. Not long record of selfless service, Cribb, but flair.
He said that to you?
Exactly, but there was more. Seems the own secretary has sold him on using French methods. From now on, we follow the Sûreté.
Oh, the one in Paris?
Yeah. But according to Jowett, they never let go. You have 47 undetected crimes in your division, Cribb. This would not happen in France. No, Cribb. They would persevere. Send in... Oh, well, probably you wouldn't know the term. And
an agent provocateur, Sergeant.
Amazing, Thackeray. The pronunciation, however, is agent provocateur.
Oh, it don't matter how you say it, Sarge. It's still illegal in England.
That's precisely what I told Jarrett. So we came to an agreement. I would work with less formality. With officers who know my methods. Like you, Thackeray.
Oh, it's certainly truth in that. Here. You don't mean I'm at the yard?
At the yard? And attached to me?
With 47 crimes still on the books. Well, I reckon before we start, another East India.
Gladly, Thackeray. And as Ada's approaching...
Don't want to disturb you, Mr. Cribbett. This bloke says he must talk to you.
Oh?
Proper smelly he is, too. I'd have got rid of him, except he knows you're a blue.
And I never run. And what I've got to say, well, I reckon it'll be worth the point. If it ain't, me name ain't Milligan. Well, go on, woman. Me thirst ain't used to waiting.
Oh. 3 pints, Ada.
Right you are.
Right. Start talking, Mr. Milligan.
5 bob.
For what?
A corpse.
Man or woman?
Man. And it ain't 10 minutes from here.
Oh, well, in that case, Thackeray, we should be able to locate it. We know where to look, don't we?
Nowhere to look. I may be old, mister, but I ain't daft. So make it 4 bob, eh?
Do we pay him, Thackeray?
For what, Sarge? I mean, it don't take a sharp nose to tell he deals in cockles,
yeah.
Eh? And the only stalls around are at Blackfriars.
Yes. There's always 3 or 4 corpses a month there.
Well, if you're not interested in murder...
What says it's murder, Milligan?
Well, it ain't got no head, mister. And headless corpses don't jump off bridges. There's the body, Sarge. Caught up against the arch.
Yeah, well... You'd better haul it in, Thackeray.
Me, Sarge? Well, it might be better if we waited. The lads from the morgue, they'd be better equipped.
Yes, to cart it away, Thackeray. But I want an expert examination. And with the tide going out...
As you say, Sarge.
Oh, and Thackeray, keep an eye out for the head.
Right.
Now, as for you, Milligan,
yeah.
I'll need a statement. Take this note to the Nick at Blackfriars.
I'd say you forgot something.
No, no, it's in the note. A florin in exchange for a statement. Well, on your way, then. You appear a trifle damp, Thackeray.
The tide's coming in, Sarge. I reckon he's been dead about 4 days. There's a couple of things fair back on me.
Oh, well, in that case, Thackeray, I'd better have a look. Oh, yes. He's quite a big fella.
Yeah, about 5'9". Well developed. I reckon a saw crosscut took his head off.
Yeah. You didn't spot it?
Not anywhere, Sarge.
Well, that could make identification a problem. Oh, he's got a good thatch of ginger on his chest. It won't be too difficult to match up with the head.
If we ever find it, Sarge. But there's still a few things to go on.
Now, that mark between his muscles...
Yes. It's made by a cord running between deltoids and biceps.
Yeah.
Well, he's obviously a working man. A bricky, tanner. Could even be a puddler.
Oh, I'd say he was a bricky.
Your reasons, Thackeray?
Well, look at his forearms. Moulding clay develops them a fair treat. Now... The scars on his palms, they could be from brick edges.
Yeah, that's a fair assumption, Thackeray. All right, let's turn him over.
All right.
There we go. Oh, blimey.
Come on.
Now, that really is something. Those bruises were inflicted before death, agreed?
I hope you say that, Sarge. Now, look at his knuckles. More scars. And the size of his fists. It just don't make sense.
But you have a theory.
Yes, Sarge. I'd say his hands have been pickled in vinegar and scarred from knuckle fighting.
And brickies and knuckle fighting usually went together.
Right, Sarge. But knuckle fighting's been illegal for 12 years. And these scars are fresh. Makes me wonder where we start.
Well, you start with a walk to Fleet Street, Thackeray. The boxing reporters, the Bell, Sporting Life, the referee. Extract all you can about pugilism in London. And you can make it clear they will not be implicated.
And you, Sarge, where will you be?
Home, Thackeray. I require time to consider.
What, Sarge?
how to break the news to Inspector Jowett. You see, Thackeray, we now have 48 unsolved crimes in the division.
Intuition and inspiration, Sergeant, they must go together.
Exactly, sir. That is why I am here.
Oh, you have a case which requires my guidance?
Just agreement, sir.
To what?
A novel method of investigation.
What precisely do you mean by novel, Sergeant?
Well, sir, a corpse was dragged from the Thames last night, and I believe it to be that of a pugilist.
The modern term, Sergeant Cribb, is boxer.
For a glove fighter, sir, this man was a pugilist, a pug. His hands have been pickled, and recently.
A knuckle fighter? Ridiculous. London prize ring bouts were banned over a decade ago.
You don't just stop a sport. Not when it's been in for over a century. Oh, no, sir, it goes on. Not in my division, I assure you, but it goes on. Now, I'm taking this case very seriously, sir, very seriously indeed.
Why this one in particular?
Well, it struck a chord in my memory. I spent most of the night checking the dead person's foul play suspected lists. Found two other corpses, both well-muscled, both hooked from the Thames, both suspected of being pugilists.
A coincidence, Cribb.
Hardly, sir. Both corpses and the one last night had one more thing in common.
Well, go on, Sergeant.
They were all headless. It could add up to a pretty pattern of murder in the fist-fighting fraternity.
There is no such thing, Cribb. The magistrates put pay to it in the 60s. The fines were so monstrous, no promoter could afford the risk. And once railway excursions were banned, that ended it. You can't make a profit if no one attends.
That may be, but there's still plenty you'll pay for a set two with bare knuckles. And our victim. Now, the medical report indicates he'd been fighting shortly before his death. Oh, he was a pug, all right. I'll state my stripes on that.
A prophetic statement, Sergeant?
If I am wrong, sir. But to prove anything, I must get in with the fraternity, gain their confidence.
So you wish me to release you from your duties?
Well, rather more than that, sir. As you said, fist fighting's illegal. Now, I may have to stand by, do nothing while it goes on. And, even appear to enjoy it. French methods, as you might say, sir.
French methods? You believe subterfuge is really necessary?
Oh, essential, sir. However, if you consider the method too, outré, unorthodox, then,
The crime will remain unsolved. Very well, you may proceed. But, Cribb, be extremely cautious. Do nothing that smacks of conspiracy.
Morning, Sarge.
Afternoon, Thackeray.
Oh, sorry, Sarge, but, well, it was a long night. Ada was...
Yes, well, you can tell me about that later, Thackeray. Now, if you've recovered, what news from Fleet Street?
Nostalgia, Sarge. The reporters, they'll talk about the golden days, all right. But you ask where the knucklers are today, you'd think you wanted an audience with Prince Albert, Lord rest his soul.
The promoters, any mention of where they scuttled?
To the turf, pedestrianism, wherever the money is.
Wherever the money is. Thackeray, you are a genius. Jago, we must see Jago.
Jago, Sarge? What's he there, another reporter?
No. Henry Jago's more useful than that. He's a first-class boxer and a crusher to boot.
A police constable, Sarge?
Yes, Thackeray. A simple constable, just like you.
Tell me, Henry, your prospects of advancement, are they good?
Honestly, Lydia, yes. I suppose so. But first I shall have to prove myself. Why?
Father was asking. It's funny. He knows so little about the constabulary. He wanted to know how many non-commissioned officers worked for you.
What did you tell him?
The truth, that I didn't know.
Are you sure that he doesn't suspect that you, visit me without a chaperone?
No, I'm not sure, Henry. But he has suggested I increase my circle of friends. In fact, he's invited one to supper on Saturday.
Oh, really? How do you feel about that?
Well, I don't have any choice. Oh. He's the curate from St. Martin's. I know. You could leave your visiting card.
Perhaps. don't think it'd do any good, not with your father.
I'm sure he would ask you to call, and then you could explain. Tell him that the constabulary is like a military regiment, that there's a very strict discipline. That would appeal to him.
I'm sure it would. Now, may I pour you some more tea?
Oh, you're not expecting visitors. Oh, Henry, my reputation.
Oh, Lydia. Don't worry, my dear. Just keep calm.
Yes.
Coming. Yes? Oh, Sergeant Cribb.
Afternoon, Jago. Oh, by the way, this is Constable Thackeray, attached to us from S Division. Do you mind if we come in?
Well, the fact is, Sergeant, I have a visitor, a young lady.
And no chaperone, really, Jago.
No. And as there's only one exit from these rooms,
you need have no fears about our discretion, Jago. But the matter is urgent.
Oh, very well, Sergeant. Do come in and make yourselves comfortable.
Thank you. What about your lady, Jago?
Yes. If you'll excuse me for a few moments.
Jago may be well informed about boxing, Sarge, but, well, that nameplate on the door. Henry Jago, Constable, Criminal Investigation Department. I don't reckon even Inspector Jowett has that.
Keep your voice down, Thackeray.
And the furnishing, Sarge, eh? Silver goblets. Blimey, Sarge, that crest.
Well, Jago comes from a high-class family, Thackeray.
Oh.
Private tutors, public school. He'd have gone to the university except for a disagreement with his father. That's why he walked out and joined the force.
Oh, I thought you said he had brains, Sarge.
Mm.
Cut glass decanters. Oh, blimey, Sarge, what is it?
That's Elliman's embrocation. I smelled it from here. Excellent for toning muscles, but not recommended by the glass.
This way, Lydia.
Henry, will you...
Good day, ma'am.
Oh, good day, gentlemen.
Goodbye, Lydia. And about my card. I will drop it in. Ah. And now, Sergeant, Mr. Thackeray, you have my fullest attention.
You're still keeping up your sporting interests, Jago?
That comment was uncalled for, Sergeant.
Now, simmer down, simmer down. I refer to your trophies.
Ah, yes.
You have two new ones.
Yes, yes. Police tournament and the Queensbury Cup.
Yes. It was a pity about that middleweight title. Bit of bad luck you're missing that.
Ah, had nothing to do with luck, Sergeant. I just hadn't trained enough.
Where do you train, Jago?
Oh, here, mostly. I have dumbbells, chest expanders.
Now, don't fence, Jago. Where do you train?
Covent Garden, Sergeant, a pub called the Anchor. Most boxers know it.
What about fist fighters?
Pugilists? Mm. Oh, no. Strictly for glove fighting. It's not quite the Athenaeum, but we do control membership.
Mm. So none of the fist fighting fraternity get there?
Well, some of the attendants could be ex-pugilists. I don't really know. Don't mix with them.
Oh, that's a pity. Prize fighting. Have you any idea where it goes on now?
Ooh. Kent? Essex? It's not prudent to delve too deep, at least not for me. Curiosity and the cat, you know.
The fraternity at the Anchor, Jago, they know you're on the force.
Oh, hardly, no. Anyone ask my business, I say I'm a clerk in Whitehall.
Fair bit of truth, eh, Jago?
Yes, more's the pity, Mr. Thackeray.
Yeah.
Well, Jago, seeing you're unhappy with the statistical branch, I'll change that. From tomorrow, you report to me.
And my duties?
We'll commence at the Anchor. You see, Jago, I need information on knuckle fighting. Where it goes on, who's involved. And I want to witness a mix. The sooner the better.
Quite a bit of activity, eh, Sergeant?
It seems you acquired a reliable informant, Jago. Who is he?
The station master at Fenchurch Street.
How do you know about it?
Railway tickets, Thackeray. Apparently, there was a heavy advance sale.
Doesn't say it was a knuckle fight.
No, but to quote him,
I tell you, mister, the day one of the fancy endures a train journey to see a bloody waltz with muffs on, well, it ain't come yet. And in my opinion, mister, it never will.
Judging by this gathering, you might be right.
5-1, the Ebony. 2-1.
Any combination. Given or taken.
Who's the Ebony, Jago?
The local champion. His real name's Sylvanus Morgan. But he fights as the Ebony the Black Panther.
That's an odd choice. Why, Jago?
A natural choice, Thackeray. You'll know when you see him. That big fellow there's the challenger.
Meenix, the Stepney Ox.
We'll meet him at the anchor, Jago.
Meenix? Hardly the type we encourage, no.
Then where will he take his breathings?
Oh, there's plenty of places for cattle like him. A Lambeth School of Arms, for instance.
A filthy smelling hole. I'm surprised you know it, Sergeant.
I visited it last night. Crowds pet like herrings and smell in the same way.
What was the fighting like, Sarge?
Barely within the law. Gloves, with the padding removed. Timekeeping variable. Rounds timed according to the state of the pugs. Bloody as an abattoir.
Might be where our corpse was beaten to death, Sarge.
Hardly, Thackeray. The state of his knuckles was not consistent with any form of glove fighting. Your corpse was definitely a pugilist.
He's called the Ebony. He's a Negro.
The size of him.
Into the ring, Ebony.
Quiet. Quiet, you rebel. Quiet. Right. Contestants will take their corner. And for those who fancy him, the challenger, Meenix the Stepney Ox. Weigh 15 stone and 4 pounds. And by his own choice in the black corner, the defending champion, Sylvanus Morgan. Ebony the Black, weighing 13 stone and 3 pounds. Right, contestants, toe the stretch and start fighting.
A short, unentertaining bout. Still, it has raised a thirst. 2 glasses of porter, please, landlord.
Yep.
And for you, Jago?
A cordial, Sergeant. The local people, landlord, not many attending the bout.
We got better ways of passing the time, sir. What? That right, isn't it, Ben?
Oh, aye. Betting ain't part of God's law. Anyway, I do better with me money in here.
When you're not on the slate, it'll be 5 pence, gents. Meenix, the London Pug. How long did he last?
A mere 14 rounds. And I realised the Ebony's form, I'd have wagered a few pounds.
Well, the Ebony's form ain't widely known. Be different if the papers still reported fistfights.
But he has had a number of bouts.
No, only 2 as I knows of. Here in Raynham, that is.
Were the bouts held recently?
One was last November. Right, any Ben?
November were when the Bermondsey boy lost all his ivories. The other was at Easter. Webster, the bloke was called. Took 6 hours to bring him round.
The Ebony's training man. I should like to meet him.
Oh, that ain't likely, mister. Not unless you're invited to the hall.
The hall?
Ebony takes his breathings at Radstock Hall. The Vibart plays up there on the hill.
And Mr. Vibart discourages visitors?
No. He's been dead this 12 months. It's the others.
The servants?
And training folk. Londoners. They don't come in here. Except for Mr. Edmund.
Mr. Edmund?
Edmund Vibart. Brother to the deceased, Mr. Vibart. We see him once a week regular, don't we, Ben?
I thought you said he didn't come in here.
Oh, they don't. No, we see Mr. Edmund in church. He plays the organ.
Oh, rare musician he is. But his language, when he hits a wrong note, makes even the choir boys blush.
Have you ever been inside Radstock Hall?
Not since the Vibarts took it over. No, no. Some of the village wenches used to work up there, but they didn't stay long.
Oh, this Vibart, one for the ladies, eh?
No, no, it's the woman, Mrs. Vibart. Strange she is.
Strange?
So they say. Her late husband lived abroad. Brought back a load of stuff, statues and the like. Gods, images. But they say, Mrs. Vibart's been taken over by them.
Oh, it's just wenches gossip, Tom.
They said they were scared. Talked about strange happenings. Well, no doubt most of the stories grew in the telling, but...
Ain't much you can tell some of the lasses, eh, Tom?
My age ain't even worth trying. Now, if it's the London train you want, you've got 5 minutes, and I've got work to do.
One last question. Is Ebony the only fist fighter at Radstock?
Well, not having been there, I wouldn't know. Now, Ben, the cellar.
The train, Sarge. We ain't got much time.
Right, Thackeray. Jago, I want you to travel in the same coach as Meenix. Keep your eyes and ears open. Thackeray and I are going visiting.
Which way, Sarge?
Towards the lighted window. Thackeray, watch out for the cucumber frames.
Sorry, Sarge. Hey, Sarge. It's a gymnasium.
Yeah, and handsomely equipped.
Thackeray, there, on the chaise longue. It's the Ebony, Sarge.
And I'll wager the woman is Mrs. Vibart.
Yeah. Dressed a bit strange, ain't she, Sarge?
It's a sari. Traditional Indian dress, Thackeray.
Is what she's doing to the Ebony traditional as well, Sarge? Blimey, I wouldn't mind having my muscles toned like that.
Yes, no doubt, Thackeray. Now keep quiet and hand me your knife.
Here, you're not planning
their conversation, Thackeray. It could be of interest.
Oh.
Now, if I can slide this window open a fraction. There. Now very quiet, Thackeray.
Lie quietly, Sylvanus. Relax.
I could have ended that fight on the first round.
The gods would not have been pleased. I would not have been pleased.
The gods? I don't listen to your gods. You said to fight Meenix until the 14th round, so I obeyed. But the next time, it mightn't be so.
Faith, Sylvanus. You must have faith.
I need better antagonists.
But Sylvanus, Meenix was a champion, the best available. And we did make money.
That's not why I fight. You know that.
Yes, but finding new antagonists for you is difficult.
Ooh.
Oh, your poor ribs. Are they very sore? Next time, Sylvanus, I must be present. I would not be the first woman to attend a prize fight.
Why don't you listen, Isabel? If I leave here...
Leave, Sylvanus? No, you will not leave me. You couldn't.
When I came here, you made me promises.
And I kept them, Sylvanus. Every time, 2 bouts.
But not with good opponents.
Because you are not ready yet. You know I cannot afford any more mistakes. The others, we forced them, took them to the top too soon. That must not happen to you. Your body, Sylvanus, is too precious. The gods would not want your blood. Now, lift your arms. Did you know that handmaidens did this in ancient times to their kings?
I will not fight any more farm boys.
The next one, Sylvanus, will be different. Very different. Now you have been anointed. You must sleep there. It's time for Edmund to release the hounds. We cannot risk prowlers.
No more than we can afford to be sniffed out. I don't know what you heard, Thackeray, but I've learned enough to get us a quick promotion.
Sunshine, Thackeray.
Yeah.
Changes the whole face of London. Yes, it's good to be out.
Maybe, Sarge. But our corpse...
It's over a week now, and we haven't progressed any further.
You found nothing significant in criminal records?
Oh, only confirmed young Jago Ears reports. Meenix, no convictions.
How about Matthew Beckett?
The promoter who hired Meenix?
Exactly, Jago.
Drunkenness, a few petty crimes, but no record. Not like some of the scum on that train. We should have pulled them in, Sergeant.
Why waste time? No, I've only one concern at present. Matthew Beckett. Your training, Jago, it's progressing well.
Oh, the professor at Shoreditch knows his business.
Then keep at it hard. I've an idea next week's going to be crucial.
Why next week, Sarge?
Why, Thackeray? Because Beckett hired Meenix for only one reason, to make money. Meenix lost the fight. Beckett lost a deal of cash. He has to recoup.
But, Sarge, Meenix was odds-on favourite. Beckett couldn't have made money on the bout, not unless he bet against his own man. Right, Jago?
You're forgetting side bets, Thackeray.
Side bets?
The fight was carefully planned, Thackeray. Meenix was to control it round by round, according to the odds. He would have, too. Except for Ebony.
A ringer, Thackeray. Meenix expected your usual muscle-bound ploughboy. What he got was a superbly trained fighting machine. Now, Beckett would have placed his bets in advance, so...
So he lost Ebby.
Mm-hmm. And his fighter beaten to a pulp. So if he plans to recoup...
A new pug.
Yes, and this time a real fighter.
Do you think he's got someone in mind?
Yes, the word is that he wants the Ebony.
Oh.
I'd better be on my way, Sergeant.
Yeah, right you are, Jacob.
The Professor doesn't like to be kept waiting.
Our corpse, Sarge. You reckon he might have disappointed the gamblers?
Well, plenty have, Thackeray. But they haven't been topped. Not in London, anyhow.
Well, he could be a provincial. Except he'd be missed.
Right, Thackeray. But only locally. So suppose he'd been specially imported.
Oh, who'd go to that bother, Sarge?
How about our friends at Radstock?
What, the Vibarts?
Why not? They have the Ebony. And he isn't exactly local. Mm. Then there were the other pugs. She pushed them too hard. Now, suppose one of them, or even more, had been badly injured or killed. Who'd miss him? Not the locals. They'd never visit the hall or know how many pugs train there. The only problem would be getting rid of the body.
The river.
Why not? It's away from Raynham, and topping them would make identification difficult. So, no awkward questions.
Yeah. Speaking of questions, Sarge, the Professor, the Shoreditch School of Arms, if I didn't know you better...
You'd say Jago was training as a knuckle fighter. Well, you'd be right, Thackeray.
What?
That is exactly what he's doing.
Well, you can't allow that, Sarge, not Jago. He's a boxer. Queensbury rules don't allow wrestling, spike boots, kidney punches. Jago will be taught the ribbons. It's vicious.
We're playing a vicious game, Thackeray.
Sarge, we've three headless corpses. And you saw what everybody did to Meenix. He's scarred for life. And Meenix was a seasoned pug. You can't risk Jago like that.
I know the risks, Thackeray. But I need someone inside Radstock Hall. Someone the Vibarts will accept. Someone who can dig out evidence.
Yeah. How do you plan to get him into the hall, Sarge?
Easily, Thackeray. He's well known at the Anchor. Now, the Vibarts aren't amateurs. They've invested heavy. The gymnasium, the equipment proves that. Now, we know they're on the market for pugs. So once the word gets round that Henry Jago's ready to fight with the Rawns, they'll come sniffing.
So could some others, Sarge. And if they found out, well, we could be pulling Jago from the river. Then there's his young lady, Sarge, the one at his digs. She's sweet on him, and if he went missing, there ain't no way I know to muzzle a curious woman.
Come in. What is it, Helga?
Herr Jago, he is here.
Then show him in, woman.
Herr Vibart will see you now.
Thank you. Good day, Mr. Vibart.
Yeah. Jago. Shut the door, woman. Right on time, Jago. I like that. So will Isabel.
Isabel?
My sister-in-law. Married my little brother last year. 20 years difference in their ages. He died at Christmas. Heart failure.
Oh. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so am I. He left her the whole damned estate.
But she permits you to stay here?
Yes. With a cook, a gardener, and a maid. And they're Germans, all of them. Blasted messenger boy, that's what I am.
But I thought... I understood I'd be working for you.
No. Isabel's the governor here. But the fancy don't like doing business with a woman, so I act as her agent.
It is a man's game, Mr. Vibart.
Yeah, don't tell her that, Jago. Isabel's never seen a mix, but the prize ring rules, she quotes them better than a priest knows the commandments. She's waiting in the gym. Follow me. Isabel, Jago's here.
Ah, welcome to Radstock, Mr. Jago. I am Isabel Vibart.
I am at your service, Mrs. Vibart.
I hope so, Mr. Jago. There is no need for you to stay, Edmund.
Very well.
Edmund has very little charm, Mr. Jago. So unlike my late husband.
However, he has his uses. Now, please, sit here beside me.
Yes, very well.
Edmund informs me you're an experienced boxer. Have you won any championships?
No, but I have beaten a number of reputable amateurs.
I see. Now, why do you wish to be a pugilist?
I need money, Mrs. Vibart.
And without money or prospects, marriage is out of the question.
Marriage, Mrs. Vibart?
You do have a lady friend.
Why, yes.
And you have admitted a need for money. Obviously, you are considering marriage. Don't be embarrassed, Mr. Jago.
Oh, I'm not, Mrs. Vibart. Just impressed.
Good. You see, Mr. Jago, what we do at Radstock is, well, not accepted. I need to know all about people who come here. I have excellent informants, some even at the Anchor, where you train. Now tell me, do you approve of my gymnasium?
The equipment is unbelievable.
It is the best available, Mr. Jago. My fighters lack for nothing. Now please remove your clothes.
My clothes?
Yes. I want to see you exercise. Have no fear, Mr. Jago. You will find drawers and pumps in that cubicle.
Ah.
Go on. The white set should fit you perfectly.
Ah, yes, I see. Are there many fighters in training here?
Only one at present. He fights as Ebony, the Black Panther.
And you've got all this equipment just for him?
No. No, there were others, but they left. They did not reach the top, Mr. Jago, and I do not accept failures. Yes, the whites do suit you.
Your other pugilist, perhaps I knew of them.
No. They were from the Midlands and no doubt returned there. Now, do some press-ups. Ready? Down, up, down, up, down, up, stop. Now, if I may touch you. You have a sound heart, Jago. Biceps are strong. But your weakest points are your diaphragm and your legs. We will work on those. Now, turn around. Flex your arms.
Ah, a handsome show of flesh. Don't stop, Isabel. So, this is the new one.
His name's Henry Jago. This is Robert Destin, Mr. Jago. I hope he will agree to train you.
Glad to meet you, Jago.
I should have warned you about the hand. Had an accident with a four ball. It took off three fingers.
A sad accident, Destin.
You can save your sorrow, Jago, or give it to the bastard who didn't clean it proper, but he carries his own souvenir. I saw to that.
Well, don't stand about, man. The sawdust bag. Let's see your fist move.
Yes.
Come on. Harder. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Stop. Now,
let's look at those knuckles. Tender, are they? Yes, they'll need pickling, Isabel, and the sooner the better.
No, Robert. I believe the first thing that Mr. Jago needs is physicking.
Physicking?
Yes, inner cleanliness, Jago, a prime maxim. We start with a strong emetic and follow it with daily doses of Glauber's salts.
Glauber's salts for a week? Blimey, Sarge.
It's in Jago's report, Thackeray.
I reckon all he's putting up with deserves a gallantry medal. Doubt I could stand it.
Given that treatment, Thackeray, you'd answer the call. Yes, well, it looks like they're getting him fit for next Saturday.
Yeah, you ain't going to let him go through with it.
Well, it's only against a local man. Jago will handle him easily.
Well, I hope his opponent realises that, Sarge, otherwise...
Oh, Jago's done well so far. His tip about pugs from the Midlands paid off handsomely. Here, look.
Birmingham Constabulary, July 20th. Your inquiry.
Missing persons register includes two brickmakers. Daniel Ives, age 24. And Thomas Quinton, age 38. Height 5'9", weight 12 stone. Red hair. Mm. Two convictions for common assault. This Thomas Quinton, Sarge. The description fits our corpse to a T.
Red hair. And if you had the convictions... Well, I mean, common assault's meant prize sergeant before now. Oh, it's Quinton, all right.
We still haven't found his head, Sarge.
No, well, I'm working on that. Quinton had a wife. Now, she's been located. We'll give her a squint at our dead friend's clothes, and given luck, she'll identify them.
And if she don't?
We carry on, Thackeray. Starting at Jago's Mix next Saturday.
Not many here, Sarge.
Thackeray, we are here in disguise, so it's Crib, eh?
Oh, sorry, sir. Mr. Crib.
Right.
I must say, that Norfolk jacket and deerstalker suit you a treat.
Yeah, I don't get much chance to wear it. Mrs. Crib don't approve of checks.
Pity you don't smoke, Sarge. Had a pipe to that outfit, you could be a dead ringer for what's his name, the detective from the Strand magazine. The sporty looker with Jago. He must be Edmund Vibart.
Yeah, he fits Jago's description. So the other one... Yes, three fingers missing. He must be the trainer, Robert Destu.
Henry Jago! Now, this here is Luke Judd from Benson's Farm. They both know the rules.
Yes, London prize ring as amended in 1866.
Correct. In your corners, then. And Luke, no butting or gouging, understand? Handlers will leave the ring. Ready? Time!
Shins, Mr. Crib. They're bleeding.
Their judge wearing spiked boots.
Cool.
Their nasty weapons are allowed.
Keep clear of his feet, Jago.
The first drop down to Luke Judd.
Six rounds and Jago's still fighting.
I told you he had guts, Thackeray. I knew the professor's training would pay off. There, Jago's got the ploughboy's measure all right.
So could someone else, Sarge.
What?
Look there, in the next field.
Oh, it's the village bobby.
He could get us involved.
I think discretion, Thackeray.
Hey, ref, over there, the blues. We've been spotted.
The blues!
The blues! There you are, they there.
Stay where you are! Queen's name!
Blimey, he's given him enough warning.
He's local, Thackeray. He wouldn't pay him to arrest anyone. Looks like Destin's away. So's Vibart.
He's heading straight towards the constable. Hey, where are you off to, Sarge?
To join Vibart.
I'll see you later, Thackeray.
A fine tribute to the manly Vibarts. One middle-aged constable on a tricycle, and Edmund runs.
Straight into his arms.
Ah, Jago.
Mrs. Vibart.
Sylvanus. Isabel. We were just discussing the fight. I think it calls for a celebration. The champagne, Robert. The magnum, I think.
Right. It was hardly a victory, Mrs. Vibart.
That was not your fault, Jago. You fought well and to instructions.
Except for that interfering blue. Stopping the mix set me back 50 guineas. But I'll win it back. Damn me if I won't. Yeah, Isabel.
Thank you.
And Ebony. Now, to your next bout, Jago.
Thank you. They talk of your fight, Jago. Praise you, make promises. But there's no mention of me. Tell me, Robert, when will Jago fight me?
You fight Jago, you're out of your mind, Ebony.
No, and my given name is Sylvanus Morgan. Mr. Sylvanus Morgan, so use it.
Right. So stir your gammon, Mr. Morgan.
Only when you answer my question. When do I meet Jago?
Never. You are a champion. The bout wouldn't last two rounds. You know, Isabel, I believe Sylvanus feels neglected.
He has no cause to. Listen to me, Sylvanus. We are in this game for profit.
Profit? How many times do I have to say it? I have money. What I need are bouts. I am a fighter.
And a good one, so we must find you the best antagonist, and we will. Now, Jago, do you approve of my necklace?
It's very becoming.
A jeweled cobra ready to strike. Yes, it is very becoming.
Was it crafted in India, Mrs. Sybot?
Yes, like most of the objects in this room. The necklace was a birthday present from my husband. Do you approve of his collection?
Well, yes. I'm no expert. But I'd say some of the items were priceless. This particular statue is quite fascinating.
Ah, it is one of my favorites.
Yes. Do you know what it represents, Jago?
An Indian deity?
Yes, Jago. That is Kali, the Black Earth Mother. She is supreme.
You know why, Jago? Because they are afraid. The legend is she danced on battlefields and ate the corpses. Gives me nightmares every time I think about it.
So she should, Robert. But Kali could be beautiful as well.
With those forearms, wouldn't mind seeing you in the ring with her, Ebony. Wouldn't know who to bet on.
Two arms were to shower blessing. Kali can be very generous to her followers.
And the other two?
See what they're holding, Jago.
How was she to know that? Or that one drop of its blood touching the earth would create 1,000 more demons. If one drop had touched the ground...
We'd be up to our heads in demons. Ruddy poppycock.
Oh, you can sneer, Robert. But Kali is a very potent goddess. One we must all appease.
She's the goddess of death. It's not wise to provoke her.
Well, then we'll drink to her.
Ah! Cozy party! Didn't think you were coming to fetch me, did you, Destin?
Stop shouting, Edmund. Sylvanus, refill the glasses, please.
Yes, Isabel.
Edmund, sit down and tell me what happened.
That damned village blue happened. He started off slow, and he put on the pressure.
What did you tell him, Edmund?
Nothing. Set my name and address, and he knew that already. Thank you, Sylvanus. Anyway, he was more interested in the bloke from London.
One of Matthew Beckett's men?
No. The gent. Tall chap. Norfolk jacket. Deerstalker. Yeah, I reckon he's there for the night. And that's what I'm calling it.
After you release the hounds. Well, Edmund?
I'm Mike Short, Isabel.
Your gambling losses are not my concern, Edmund.
Damn it, Isabel. 30 quid. That's all. And I was Jago's bottle holder. That's worth a bit, ain't it? You said I'd get paid.
Go and release the hounds, Edmund.
Right. Isabel, if that's your blasted attitude, I'll have this. It's mine by rights anyway.
Replace that figurine immediately, Edmund.
And if I don't...
I shall ask Robert to break your arm.
Be a sore temptation.
Damn you. Keep that damn thing, then. You staying on, Sylvanus?
What for? The small talk bores me. I need fights, not fancy parties.
Edmund has so little control. But I suppose we were thoughtless. Have some more champagne, Jago.
I've had quite sufficient, Mrs. Fibart, thank you. Now, I should also like to be excused.
Already? Oh, but of course, how stupid of me. Your muscles must be stiff. They need massage.
I accept the offer, Jago. Isabel's technique works wonders. The ebony can testify to that, eh, Isabel?
Oh, thank you. But no, really, Mrs. Fibart, I'm too tired tonight.
Very well, Jago. You may retire.
Yes. Well, good night.
You thought you'd get your way, didn't you? I'd like to get your hands on his body. Need his
muscles back to vitality.
You are forgetting your place, Robert.
No, you're the one who's forgetting. I think I don't know about your peephole, the way you sit watching, getting pleasure when your pugs suffer.
No, I watch them for their own good. I want no more failures.
Why, lie, Isabel. You watch them for enjoyment. Your training program is meticulously planned to break them. Hmm? Oh. You want them to fail, to exhaust themselves. Then you've got them. Hmm? But Ebony's cottoned on, and that's why you've turned to Jago. I think I haven't seen him prowling around at night, keeping him on tenterhooks, are you?
Obviously, you have been prowling as well, Robert.
Don't act so innocent, Isabel, not with me. Jago ain't actually visited you yet, but only because he knows I'm watching you. Hmm? And tonight, when you're ready, he's too weary. Hmm? Well, I'm not. And I've waited long enough.
Away from me, Robert. Forget who I am. You animal, you... No!
You enjoyed this animal once, Isabel, and you'd be willing with Jago, wouldn't you? Don't fight, Isabel.
Think of the past. What we meant to each other.
Very well, Robert. But remember, only a fool takes a woman when he gives her no pleasure. And be warned, Kali will be revenged.
Kali? Demons? Cobras?
Cool.
Oh, you saw Jago after the mix, Thackeray. Any head injuries?
No. He was limping a bit, Sarge, that's all. Why?
Well, this report's full of self-pity. I thought young Jago could take pressure. Now he wants to bow out from Radstock before he's done anything.
He did help us identify Quinton, Sarge. Besides risking his neck, that is. Could be he's suffering from shock.
Shock?
Well, he looked more than shaken when he heard you was arrested with Vibart. That worried me a bit, too. I wasn't sure you'd get away. Not without saying you was on the force.
Oh, I couldn't do that, Thackeray. No, I realised that Bobby stumbled on the mix by accident. All he wanted was a quencher with his cronies.
Oh.
So I held back until Vibart was released. Then I took the offensive, appealed to the constable's vanity, indicated I was a reporter, stressed that over 100 spectators and the antagonist got away scot-free. Suggested his county inspector might want to know why.
Made him reconsider, did it?
Yes, we came to an arrangement. He released me. I promised not to write anything. Mm. It's a pity I couldn't speak to Jacob. Yeah, he says the Ebony's determined to leave Radstock.
Well, that means Jago's left to do the fighting. No wonder he wants to get away.
There could be another reason. Mrs. Vibart. Seems like she's paying him certain attentions as well.
Not massage. Oh, if only I was a mite younger, Sarge. But I thought Mrs. Vibart was looking after the Ebony.
She was. But now the Ebony's scared. Won't go near her. He told Jago a great evil will descend on Radstock, and he plans to leave before that happens, with help from Edmund.
But why would he want to cheat his sister-in-law?
He's short of money, and Matt Beckett will pay a lot for the Ebony. Oh.
Come in.
Sergeant Cribb, Miss Lydia Boltrover.
Jago's lady friend, Sarge. That could mean trouble.
Or salvation, Thackeray. Show Miss Boltrover in, Constable.
Very well, Sarge. This way, miss.
Thank you, Constable.
Miss Boltrover. My name's Cribb. Chair, please, Thackeray.
Now, here you are, miss.
Oh, thank you.
Right. Now, how may I help you?
You can tell me where to find Henry Jago.
Jago, Miss Boltrover? I hardly...
There's no need for charades, Sergeant. I realise you are trying to be discreet, but we have met...
Briefly.
At Constable Jago's. Since then, I have heard nothing from him. Now, please, tell me what Henry is doing.
Attending to his duties, miss.
His duties? Then perhaps you can explain this newspaper report. I have marked the relevant paragraphs.
It appears to be a report of a prize fight, miss. Highly illegal. Where these reporters get their information from, I'll never know.
Does it refer to my Henry?
Yes, but I know all about it.
But it's illegal. Barbarous. My Henry could get hurt.
Please modulate your voice, Miss Poltrover. Constable Jago is involved in an extremely delicate investigation.
But he is fighting. He could be mutilated, killed.
We are taking care of his welfare, Miss Poltrover. I would tell you more, but the matter must remain highly confidential.
After this newspaper report, Sergeant?
No disrespect to you, miss, but, Bell's life. It don't circulate too widely.
But it describes him. Muscled arms, slender loins, good attitude. He is instantly recognizable.
Only to those who know him well, miss. There aren't many others who'd make the connection. You know, the truth is, Miss Poltrover, that Constable Jago is investigating certain suspicious persons. Knuckle fighting gives him a reason for being there. You would like to contact him?
Would it be possible?
Well, I don't see why not, miss. Yes. Yes, you may write him a letter. And then, if you don't mind, I should like to add one or two lines. You could write them. You see, I need a way to get instructions to him.
Will it help Henry?
It will, miss. Rest assured, it will.
Tension, Jago. We must get rid of it. There. Is that not better?
Really, Mrs. Vibart, there's no need.
I decide your needs, Jago. Now, please loosen your drawers.
My drawers? Mrs. Vibart, I do not think...
No, Jago, you don't. You have disappointed me, Henry Jago. Our activities, you know they are confidential.
Of course.
Then how do you explain this? It is addressed to you.
But only one... no one knows I'm here.
You were about to say only one person. Your Lydia.
Oh, Lydia doesn't...
Don't lie to me, Jago. I read the letter. I had to. It is obvious you have written to her before. How many times?
Only once.
Then you will write once more. You will inform your Miss Boltrover that there must be no more letters, that if she plans to marry you, she must be patient. She at least still has prospects. Is that understood, Jago?
Yes. Now, if you have quite finished, Mrs. Fiber...
Not quite, Jago. You are still tense. You have such a fine back. Not a blemish on it. I think we will change that. Well, there's a mark for you, Casanova. My mark. Now you can compose a letter to your Lydia. And, Jago, so you really understand the meaning of loyalty. Your training exercises are doubled, no rest periods, and this afternoon you will spar with Sylvanus.
I doubt that, Mrs. Vibart.
Rebellion, Jago.
No, but Sylvanus left Radstock soon after breakfast, and I doubt that he will return.
Quite a turn-up, Thackeray.
Yeah.
Matthew Beckett must have made a real heavy offer to get the Ebony away so fast. You in a drinking mood on expenses?
The pub's around Shoreditch, Sarge.
Yes. If the Ebony's anywhere in London, they'll have word.
If he's anywhere in the East End, Sarge, they'll know.
They better, Thackeray. This time, Jago's head could depend on it.
A toast, gentlemen, to Jago's next bout. The contract Edmund has negotiated is worth a great deal of money.
I'm glad to hear it. Who is to be my antagonist?
You mean you don't know? Tell him, Isabel.
A mutual friend, Sylvanus Morgan.
The Ebony? You said I wasn't ready.
You're not. You don't think you're going to win, do you?
Edmund has little tact, Jago. The fact is that Sylvanus has joined a promoter from London, Matthew Beckett. How that was negotiated, I still have to discover. And when I do... But that is another matter. The point is that Sylvanus's going has resolved a major problem.
Beckett's a businessman, Jago. He's got the Ebony. Now he wants a mix with one of our fighters.
We will promote it as a grudge contest. The Ebony determined to defeat the man who has taken his place. But before he does that, we will win a great deal.
So, the boat is to be engineered.
Ah, said you had a good head, Jago. Yes, you and the Ebony will fight to instructions. And so as no one gets too suspicious, you'll go down in the 26th round.
If I fight Sylvanus, I fight to win.
Listen to me, Jago. You need money.
And what of my reputation?
I am not insensitive, Jago. You will fight under another name. Henry Jago will suffer no loss of reputation, I promise you.
My idea, Jago.
You're forgetting one thing. I'm well known in Raynham.
Which is why the fight will be staged in Surrey.
And my alias?
You will use the name of a pugilist who once trained here.
A game fighter, Jago. Name of Quinton. Thomas Quinton.
Headless corpse of yours, Crib.
Thomas Quinton, Inspector?
Yes. You considered he was a pugilist?
I thought so, Mr. Jarrett, yes.
Still haven't found his murderer, have you?
Now, Jago, we will go over it once more.
Very well. I allow Sylvanus to win the first two rounds, and then we continue equally until he knocks me out in the 26th.
Yeah, just so long as you know how to count, Jago. No, I'll do any more grubs.
Jago must suffer no permanent injury, Mr. Beckett. A certain amount of bloodletting is necessary, but gouging is not. Your thumbnail, Sylvanus, will be clipped.
Perhaps you will clip them for me. You have more instructions?
Your special hold, where you crook your arm around your opponent's neck and batter his face.
The suit and chancery.
It will not be used on Jago.
Hold on. You can dictate all you want to Jago, but the Ebony's mine.
And you are welcome to him, Mr. Beckett. But that hold can kill.
She's right, Matt. We don't want another one of
those. Shut your mouth, Edmund. Well, Mr. Beckett?
Oh, agreed. Now, our 500 and flimsy is here. Who takes them?
Finance is my concern, Mr. Beckett. We can discuss details in my salon.
Some of my belongings are there, Mrs. Vibart. I need them.
They are now in the storeroom, Sylvanus. I will take you there as soon as I finish with Mr. Beckett.
One thing, Isabel. The time and place for the mix. Well, you ought to decide that now.
Same in every pub, Sarge. The Ebony fights tomorrow.
Do they know the antagonist, Declan?
Thomas Quinton, Sarge. They say he's training at Redstock Hall. Now, we know Quinton's dead, so it has to be Jago.
Jago against the Ebony. Yeah, that's interesting. Where do they meet?
Somewhere in Surrey. Do you aim to stop it?
Naturally, Thackeray. Somewhere in Surrey. Now, that means Jago and the handlers will leave Radstock about 11. Yes. Now, I think that's time enough.
For what, Sarge?
A quiet chat with Isabel Vibart and to reach the fight in good time.
So, the bout will not take place in Surrey?
Surrey? Not likely, Jago. No, the Blues got ways of hearing about a mix, so we set up stakes in Kent. Well, half the Surrey Blues wear out shoe leather searching Red Hill. Clever, eh, Jago?
But the bookies, the fancy.
Don't worry about them, Jago. The real word will go out at 11 tomorrow. Every fighting pub will have it by 12. By the time the Blues get organized, we'll be back here counting our winnings. Ah, you ready, Ebony?
I have everything now.
Yeah, it looks like you have too.
What's in the bundle? Mrs. Vibart Silver. Better not be, or she'll turn the hounds on you. Where is she?
She's gone to bed. Look, are we leaving now?
Oh, rush. Never stay still, does our Ebony. Funny he'll square up to any pug in London, but face your hounds, he goes white at the thought.
Vibart! The hounds, Vibart. They're outside Isabel's window.
Funny she hasn't heard. Better have a look. If anyone can shut him up, it's Isabel.
Isabel! Mrs. Vibart! You all right, Isabel? Isabel?
Isabel! Jago! Here! Blood! All over the bed! God!
She's dead.
Stabbed. And viciously, too. No sign of a weapon.
Jago. The safe.
Hmm?
It's open. Beckett's 500 gone. The bastard to kill her for that.
Who, Vibart?
The Ebony. You know how he hated her. And he was the last person to see her.
That's not evidence.
No. His bundle, Jago. Remember? The knife and the money. They were wrapped in the bundle. Hmm? That's why he was in such a hurry.
Look, you'd better wake Destin. Then we'll inform the police.
Call the Blues? Can't do that, Jago. Well, not unless you fancy a trial at the Old Bailey. No. We'll have to deal with this ourselves.
The first thing, then, is the dogs. Try and silence them. I'll get Destin.
Can't think why they're in such a state.
They smell blood, Vibart. Now, for heaven's sake, go and quieten them.
Right. I'll try.
Now, dress hung up carefully. Underwear soiled but left in plain view. Not esteemed for Isabel. Obviously not expecting a visitor. Safe has not been forced, so someone has the key.
Isabel, the... What the hell are you doing here, Jago?
She's dead. Murdered. By Bart and I found her a few moments ago.
They're shot.
Oh, Vibart, the hound, I think he shot them.
And raised all the servants, damn the man.
Vibart doesn't want the police.
No, we'll get rid of the servants. Tell them Isabel left for London last night. And as we're away, they'll work them a weekend off. Let me clear up here. Edmund, you stupid fool.
Oh, Jago said to silence them.
You didn't have to shoot them.
Why not, useless animals? Now, what do we do about the Ebony?
The Ebony?
Vibart thinks that he killed Isabel.
Matt Beckett's 500. Well, it's gone.
It doesn't mean the Ebony took it.
And who else, then? And Beckett. He could be in this as well.
Then we've no problem. If Beckett's got the cash, he'll hold on to it, even if he means sacrificing the Ebony.
Then we settle him. I'll knife him myself.
We've no time for poetic justice, Edmund. We'll shoot him after the fight.
And how will you dispose of the body?
We get Sprague and Mace. They can look after Isabel as well. Yeah. What's the best way, Edmund?
Sprague and Mace?
They're disposal experts, Jago. Not your concern. All you do is carry on with the mix.
Isabel Vibart, Sarge. Suppose she won't talk. Suppose they start to mix early.
Suppose they do, Thackeray.
Jago could be crippled for life.
Hardly, Thackeray. Anyway, I've more important business here than sparing Jago a few rounds in the ring. The man's had a week's instruction on full pay. He can look after himself.
And if he can't?
The yard will pay his doctor's bills. Oh, answer the door, woman.
Don't seem like she's home, Sarge. Here. You reckon that's what a servant's left?
Very possibly, Thackeray. Farm me a brick, will you?
A brick? Well, not a break-in, Sarge, eh? Here we are. Not without a warrant.
Me commit an illegal act, Thackeray? No, we are here officially to make inquiries into the death of one Thomas Quinton. We noticed a broken window and investigated. So stand well back.
Five to one on Quinton.
Try to toss in the hat. Your man ready, Beckett?
He's in the ring, ain't he? You making the challenge, Quinton?
Answer him, Jago.
What do I say?
Nothing. Just toss your hat into the ring. It's custom. Then climb in. And Jago.
Yes?
Take your time. You've got 26 rounds, remember?
It's weird, Sarge. Those dead hounds, Mrs. Vibart's body laid out, clean sheets, the blood-stained linen folded away.
Forget her, Thackeray. She was a handsome woman, and I'm sorry she's dead. But it's Quinton's murderer I want. The evidence is in this house. I know it.
But the mix, Sarge, it'll be starting now.
Only the preliminaries, Thackeray. We'll get to Jago in time, never fear.
We ought to see him now, Sarge.
Later, Thackeray. Now, search the next room.
I did, Sarge. I found these under a mattress. A key and £500. The key fits Mrs. Vibart's safe.
Making the motive theft. Which room was it?
Well, I don't believe it, Sarge. But the room was Jago's.
Jago! Come on, Jago! Now, take a deep sniff. Again!
No!
Come on, it'll clear your head.
No, it's the shooting chancery, Justin. He's using it. It's my ring pipe.
Try a nip of brandy. It'll be as good as new. Remember, Jago, there's still 24 rounds left.
There ain't time to search, Sarge. This house is too big. What we need is an army.
An army? Thackeray, you are magnificent.
Am I, Sarge?
Radstock is a Tudor manor. There's a chapel in the roof. So there must be a priest's hole. Now, where would they have concealed a priest? Well, start looking, Thackeray.
Oh, well, you don't suppose Radstock was built by the Protestants, do you, Sarge?
Pessimist. Thackeray? Where are you now?
Well, I'm not sure, Sarge. But I'm inside the wall behind the window seat, and I can't get out.
Well, if you got in, you'll get out. Well, feel for a catch. It's a spring.
The smell in here, Sarge, it's rancid. Hey, I found something.
Yeah?
It feels like a coat. But it's soaking wet. And here's a valise. Oh, I wish I had a light. Hey, I've got it, Sarge.
Good.
The catch.
Ooh. Here we are. Good man, Thackeray. Now, out you come. Ooh. Come on.
Right, man.
Right, here you go. Oh, cool. Ooh. Your hands, they're bleeding.
Yeah.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm perfect, Sarge. Blimey. No wonder this coat felt wet. It's soaked in blood. Look.
Fresh blood, Thackeray. Here, but look. These other stains. They're older, congealed.
Oh.
Well, they've been there some time. Here, get the valise open.
Yeah. Well, it's, documents.
Yeah.
Oh, a knife. And a cross-cut saw.
Both heavily bloodstained.
Right, Sarge. Looks like I've found your evidence.
I believe you have, Thackeray. I believe you have. So, we'd better be off. I think it's time we arrested a murderer.
But which one do we arrest, Sarge? Ebony, Vibart, or Destin?
Well, we could accept the obvious and go for Jago.
I can't, Destin. No more.
Fight him back, Jago. Go for his throat. Straight punches with the knuckles forward.
To my face, Destin. He just keeps on at my face.
Then don't drop your guard.
Get in there and fight. I'll do my best.
These Kent Blues, Sarge. You laid them on quick.
Foresight, Thackeray. I had them standing by.
Standing by? But the mix was set for Surrey.
No, it was supposed to be in Surrey. We got word too easily, made me suspicious. So I alerted officers in both counties. When the Reigate Blues reported that Jago was still on the train, I alerted Tunbridge Wells for these men. I told you you'd have no problems. Right, men. Now, let's have some quiet. Now, I have only one instruction for you. The bunch inside the ring, I want them braceleted first. Is that understood?
Right. Understood, Sergeant.
And, Thackeray, not a word about our visit to Radstock or what we found there.
Noted, Sarge. But Jago, we don't plan to arrest him as well.
Why not, Thackeray? He's prize fighting, isn't he?
This is intolerable, Sergeant Cribb. Why are we back at Radstock?
To help investigate a murder, Mr. Destin.
We told you who did it. Arrest him.
The Ebony?
Huh.
But what was his motive for killing Mrs. Vibart?
Oh, he despised Isabel. He wanted revenge. Ain't that true, Destin?
I've already confirmed that. And the way he sneaked out with the 500.
Hmm. Yes, you have, sir. Now tell me how he planned to get away with the crime.
Well, the Ebony is no simpleton, Sergeant Cribb.
He reasoned we'd be too frightened to report the crime because, well, you know, this knuckle-fighting nonsense is illegal. But he reckoned without the British sense of integrity. Vibert and I knew our duty. Damn it if we didn't.
Then it's a shame you wasted so much time. Thackeray?
Sergeant. This way, please, Mr. Morgan.
Yes, Constable.
Now, Mr. Morgan, you were able to overhear our conversation.
I call them liars. I killed no one. I stole nothing. Why should I? Matthew Beckett was paying me well, and I had side bets on today's bout. Well, Edmund Vibart knows that.
How the hell would he know?
Because he had bets on as well. He arranged everything with Matthew Beckett.
Vibart? You were Beckett's go-between?
Why not? The Ebony and me. You and Isabel treated us like outcasts. Besides, Beckett made me a very good offer.
I didn't want to come back to Radstock last night, but Beckett insisted. As usual, they insulted me. So I asked for my belongings.
It took a mighty long time collecting them.
Only 5 minutes. But stay in the same room with you? No. I waited in the gymnasium until I heard Beckett return.
You felt in some kind of danger.
This house is evil, Sergeant. Other fighters came here, they disappeared. Even Isabel wouldn't speak of them.
But you know where they went?
I think so. They were weaklings. They fought, were beaten, maimed, even killed, just so Isabel could make money, get pleasure. But I was different. I was a champion, and I pleased her. Then Jago came, and Isabel wanted him. It was then I knew I was in danger and that I had to leave. I liked you, Jago. That's why I was easy with you today. In 2 weeks, your face will be healed. You have my word.
Thank you, Sir Venus.
My thanks also, Mr. Morgan. Now, if you'll wait outside.
Very well, Sergeant.
A convincing story, gentlemen.
I told you Morgan was clever. The fact is, he was alone for 45 minutes. Time enough to kill Isabel.
Perhaps. Now, Mr. Morgan mentioned other pugilists, the ones who vanished. I'm interested in where they went, especially one. We fished him out of the Thames. He'd lost his head, so to speak.
His name was Quinton. Thomas Quinton.
The name used by Jago today.
So, Quinton's dead, is he? Didn't know that. We lost touch after he left Radstock. You know, Sergeant, if Ebony didn't kill Isabel, there's only one other possibility. Jago.
A few moments ago, you were certain it was Morgan.
Yes, but you disagree.
And I'll tell you why, sir. You said the Ebony, Mr. Morgan, was out of your view for 45 minutes. He left with Beckett and Mrs. Vibart.
Yes, they went to Isabel's salon.
And how long was Beckett away?
About 15 minutes.
So, if Beckett returned after 15 minutes, Morgan can only have been alone with Mrs. Vibart for half an hour at the outside.
Still time enough to kill her.
No, no. You see, during that half hour, Mrs. Vibart not only gave the Ebony his belongings, she also went back to her bedroom, undressed, completed her toiletry, hung up her dress, got into bed, and then met her murderer. Now, I'm no expert, sir, but anyone who believes she'd do all that in half an hour, well, they don't know nothing about women.
Which proves Mrs. Vibart was still alive long after Morgan left the premises.
An excellent theory. Now, I'll theorize about Jago. I know he fancied Isabel. Why? Because I've seen him prowling round her door more than once, even warned her about him. I also know she didn't care a fig for him.
Of course, you can prove that as
I
well.
I don't need to. If she cared, she'd have vetoed the mix with Ebony. She didn't. She wanted Jago taught a lesson. When Jago cottoned on, he pleaded, made advances. And when she rejected them, he lost his temper and stabbed her.
Then he emptied the safe to make it look like a robbery. I'll wager the money's on him now.
Jago was searched in the police van, Mr. Vibart. We found nothing. Unless, of course, the notes were stuffed down his boxing drawers.
Yeah. You can't deny you fancied her.
She was an extraordinary woman.
Yeah, of course she was. Good answer, Jago. Get Jago's shirt off, Sergeant.
Right.
See something we all saw at the mix. Four scratches from shoulder to hip. Nail marks. Right, Jago?
Yes.
How did you come by then, Jago?
Mrs. Vibart scratched me.
Under what circumstances?
Ain't it obvious? Handle it carefully, Jago, and you could get away with manslaughter.
If I charge Jago, it'll be for murder. You see, Constable Thackeray and I were here earlier today.
Here? Then you knew?
Yes, sir. We found Mrs. Vibart's body moments after you left for the mix.
We also discovered this.
It was hidden under Jago's mattress.
The money. You'll swing now, Jago.
I believe the money was planted.
Planted? Ridiculous. Jago had a motive, and now you have evidence.
Evidence which convinces me of his innocence. Identify yourself, Jago.
Henry Jago, police constable, criminal investigation department, assigned on temporary duty to Radstock Hall, Raynham.
You? A ruddy blue?
A blue? And I thought that you...
Jago was after Mrs. Vibart. No, no. Tell them why you're here, Jago.
On your instruction, Sergeant. To obtain evidence concerning the death of Thomas Quinton.
But being a blue don't prove he's innocent.
No. No, it doesn't. But even if Jago had stepped outside the law, he'd not have forgotten his training. He'd hardly leave incriminating evidence under his own mattress. No more than he'd risk being maimed once the crime was discovered. No. He'd be away at the first opportunity, right after the hounds were killed. So this money had to be planted.
Unless he's cleverer than you think.
Our murderer's clever, all right, Mr. Destin. Sharp. Much sharper than Jago.
Oh, sir.
No offence, Constable. He expected that Ebony would take the blame. But just in case, he kept another suspect in reserve.
For what reason?
Well, sir, I don't believe Mr. Vibart or yourself would have reported the murder. You suspected the Ebony. You'd settle the score. But in case the body was discovered while you were in Essex, a suspect in reserve was a smart precaution.
And if the body wasn't discovered?
You would have returned. Mrs. Vibart and the Ebony would have been disposed of, and the money removed from Jago's room. Confidentially, though, we stumbled on something else. Thackeray?
A blood-stained overcoat, a valise full of documents, and these. A dagger. You'll note the bloodstains.
Obviously the murder weapon.
And this cross-cut saw, also bloodstained.
Now, why someone should hide a saw so carefully puzzles me. Still, I'm sure someone with a good head will provide the answer.
We've only two suspects left, Sarge.
So we have, Thackeray. Mr. Destin, representing unrequited passion. And Mr. Vibart, personal gain. Now, Jago, you examine Mrs. Vibart's body. Describe the wounds.
5 stab wounds on the left-hand side of the chest. Heavy bruising towards the front of the neck and on the left shoulder.
Which tells us what?
How the crime was committed. The bruises show that our killer held Mrs. Vibart down with one hand. Now, I've always admired the handicapped. Like Mr. Destin here. I don't reckon he has too many problems. His single thumb and finger, they can be put to 1,000 uses, can't they, sir?
You're insane, Crib. I couldn't hold a dagger firm enough to stab her once, let alone 5 times.
Your left hand ain't crippled.
True. But think about it, Mr. Vibart. Then Destin's left hand would wield the dagger, while the crippled hand would be round Mrs. Vibart's throat.
Well, then that's how he did it.
No. The bruises are very clear. 4 fingers and a thumb, so it wasn't Destin. Which leaves only you, Vibart.
True, Jago. Except you ain't got no proof. At least not enough for a jury.
he's right, Jago. Circumstantial evidence. You wanted to regain your inheritance. You needed money. Even your disloyalty to Mrs. Vibart. It's all circumstantial. Oh, I dare say I could involve you in the death of Thomas Quinton and maybe one or two other pugs. But you'd get a good lawyer.
He'd get off scot-free, Crib. You know, Sergeant, I think Edmund and I should settle this privately. Poetic justice, Edmund. We've time for that now.
Oh, look, Robert, I mean, I don't really believe I killed Isabel. I mean, well, we were related.
Yes, and I loved her. I will extract payment in full, Edmund. Never fear.
Sergeant! Jago! You've got to believe me!
But I do, Mr. Vibart. So, there's no reason for us to stay. You coming, Thackeray?
Oh, yes.
Jago?
Yes, Sergeant.
Edmund.
No!
Vibart's confession, Sarge. There could be questions.
Why, Thackeray? It was full and freely given. Three witnesses. Vibart was a gambler. Well, I gave him the odds. an impartial jury or Robert Destin. The choice was his.
Suppose he hadn't cracked, Sarge. You wouldn't have... Well...
Just enjoy the sunshine, Thackeray.
We'd better make the most of it while we can. Inspector Jowett's heading this way.
Ah, Crib. Thackeray.
What's up?
Just saw the director. Told him about the Vibart case, how we used French methods. Pleased him so much, he agreed to a promotion. Tomorrow, we'll have a new sergeant. By the way, Crib.
Yes, sir?
Count of crimes, the new figures. He'll need confirmation.
Right after the stripes go on, eh, Sarge?
Right after the stripes go on, Thackeray.
Unfortunately, I won't be present. So, you'll offer my congratulations to Sergeant Henry Jago.
In The Detective Wore Silk Drawers, Detective Sergeant Cribb was John Rye, Constable Thackeray, John Hollis, Constable Jago, Steve Hodson, Isabel Vibart, Carol Boyd, Edmund Vibart, Michael Goldie, Robert Destin, William Eagle, The Ebony, Anton Phillips, Inspector Jowett, Gerard Green, Didier, Nicolette McKenzie, Helga, Irene Sutcliffe, The Landlord, Geoffrey Siegel, Beckett, Bruce Beebe, Milligan, Paul Meyer, Sprague, David Alder, Mace, Neville Jason. Peter Loves's novel, The Detective Wore Silk Drawers, was dramatized by Geoffrey M. Matthews and produced and directed by Graham Gould.